In my words yesterday, I think concerning the township, I told you to remember a little bit of that. Study that or something. I talked to you about this matter of, or I briefly mentioned this matter of the birth rate. You may not have caught it, but I did use that word. Well, that is a biblical word. Specifically, you can trace that all the way back to the Old Testament. We all know that the Old Testament is a time of shadows, of typologies, of figures, and so on. But the reality of all those things, all those shadows and figures, is in the New Testament. All right, so the Old Testament is a picture book. The New Testament is our words. So this matter of the right, last night I read all of us the right, right? The right of the Son is in the Old Testament words the birthright. Now, however, in the Old Testament, this matter of the birthright, you know, with the Jews especially, there's only the privilege, or was only the privilege of the firstborn. All right? It is not just, you know, any sons. It's only for the firstborn son. The firstborn son holds a very special position in a household. I think today, in many cultures, still similar. It is sort of a natural kind of thing. Well, that was the case. Then you will say, well, how does that apply to us? We're not firstborn. Jesus Christ is the firstborn son. But many thought, well, in one sense. But in another sense, we are all the firstborn. I prove to you very easily. In Hebrews, it says, we are the church of the firstborn. Okay? In chapter 12, we are the church of the firstborn. And that clearly refers to us. Now, that doesn't mean we replace Christ. But it does mean that in the New Testament, we are even the picture of the Old Testament. We are not only Christ, but even all of us believers in Christ, in the new creation, are the first fruits. In James chapter 1, I believe verse 8, it says we are the first fruits in this universe. So the church, actually the church of God, is the church of the first fruits. In that sense, we are the firstborn. Okay? And as the firstborn, we share the birthright. We share the birthright. So this morning, I have a burden to talk to all of you young people about this matter of the birthright. I'm going to tell you, first of all, how absolutely wonderful this birthright is and what it includes. You see. The second thing I want to tell you is about a couple of very, very tragic stories. And I think some of you may know already, of how that birthright, this wonderful birthright, can be forfeited. Very easy. All right? So I'm speaking in the context of us now being the sons, right? The sons of God. And in the New Testament, this right that we have, which really includes, basically, the inheritance of the marvelous divine blessings that we receive from our Father God can be given away, can be lost. And that, I want to impress you this morning, is a very, very serious thing. With a view of the coming kingdom. I say this not to scare you, not in that kind of a way, but I feel young people, and I was once young, need a word of righteousness from time to time. I can testify to you this kind of a word that does not pull any punches. This kind of word is tell it as it is. This kind of word that really sticks to the real truth of the Bible, which today many forms of theologies opposes, neglects, and actually they have lost it. I'm referring specifically to this belief or this revelation of a certain dispensation that is coming called the millennial kingdom. I refer to that. I spoke a lot about the Reformed theology today, you know, which is another word, Calvinism, which believes in justification by faith, right? And very, very much believe in eternal salvation. You know, in other words, once saved, forever saved. Marvelous. This is really, really wonderful. Okay? Are you sure that you're forever saved?
Amen.
That even if we sin, God forbid, our salvation is eternally secure.
Amen.
Whenever the devil comes and calls you to question your salvation, you come to go to hell.
Amen.
Right? The best way to fight the devil is not put on your boxing glove. The best way to fight the Bible is to go to the Word.
Amen.
Even Jesus did that. Three times he said, "It is written."
Amen.
No matter what the devil says, he doesn't go fight with him. He just goes to the Word. The Word is our primary weapon.
Amen.
So you see, young people, you must know the Word.
Yes.
You see, it says, young men, you have overcome the evil one. Because what? The Word of God dwells in you. That is in 1 John chapter 2, I think. So, young people, may I just say a huge sidebar here, that you must know the Word. And I wish I am your age. I told you at one time I almost got that speaking from Brother Lee, you know, that man of life, memorized. And today, if you tell me to do that or something similar, I just cannot do it. I am not at your age. The cells in my brain is losing its function. But you are at the time, even younger than you, not just you, younger than you. I say even the primary school, junior high, their mind is just, they can pick up three languages all at once. And I'm still trying to learn Spanish in the last 30 years. Well, I shouldn't blame my brain, I should blame my laziness. But I have a point here. While everything sticks to your mind, while your mind is so ridiculously absorbent, all right, you have to take that time to get the Word into you. I know you're studying this and studying that, but your mind still has 10 gigs, all right? School is just 1 gig. You still have 9 gig for the Word of God.
Amen.
You gotta do that. And I tell you, if you get later, right, it is not the same. So get the Word. You know, let the Word dwell in you. Go read Psalm 119, okay? The whole Psalm, all on the Word of God, the precept, the judgment, the testimonies, right? The law, all of those refers to the Word of God. You've got to love the Word. You've got to taste the sweetness, you have to hope on it, you have to raise your hands to it, you have to rejoice in it, you have to wake up with it, you have to go to bed with it. I'll tell you, if you do that, the devil would stay away from you. Because it's like you're spraying yourself all over with this buck thing, and no bucks would like you. The devil will hate you in a way that he doesn't want to get away. He couldn't stand it to be around you. You want to be someone like that?
Yeah.
And the devil couldn't stand to get close to you because you stink to him. I tell you, this Bible stinks to Satan.
Yeah.
Don't. You don't read the word, you want to fight the battle? Forget about it. You will be just pummeled, beaten to a pulp in no time. Don't even try. Just every day, just get this word into you.
Amen.
Every day, take out a straw and stick it right there. Every morning, you know what I mean? Suck it in. Come to the training, come to the read the books, read the Bible. You say, well, I don't have that much experience. Don't worry, experience will come.
Amen.
It will come. But I tell you, if you don't have the word, sometimes I have to question your experience. Our experience is based on the truth.
Amen.
That is dependent. Alright? So I really strongly say this. By the way, let me promote the summer college training a little bit here. And not wait till the end. You know, I've got news for you. Good news. This year, we're going to start our third training. It started for years in the West Coast. Right? Started out in down here. And then for years we were in the Bay Area, not for years, for a little bit. Then we went up to Eugene for a number of years. Then we went back to the Bay Area, because it's in the middle. We kept everyone from the north and the south. Then it got so big we couldn't handle it. 3 years ago, we started the summer college training number 2, or East Coast, in Athens, Georgia. So now that place started out the first time with 100 people, or I don't know, whatever. Now they have 200 or 260 and growing like that. So we say, goodness, we better do something. And we found out a lot of brothers and sisters, so in the middle part of the country, it's kind of too far to both coasts. So we say, okay, we'll start one in the middle of the country. And let me announce to you, this summer there will be a central summer college training, not West Coast, not East Coast, but Central College training in Ohio.
Amen.
All right? If they start with 50 people, 60 people, you trust me, it will grow.
Amen.
I predict there will be hundreds going to that. So it will capture people from the plains, the middle part of the country, up and down, okay? Even the northeast, so forth, it will be in Ohio, all right? In fact, I will tell you, it will be in Fairborn, Ohio, in our own property, and that will be, you know, that is southern Ohio, that's close to Kentucky, that, you know, Ohio is a very, very big state. Buckeye State, right? Okay, so if you are somewhere in that region, plan to go there. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying that in these 7 days, in these trainings, you will do nothing but sucking from this book. And this coming summer, we will be in the last book of the heart of the divine revelation called Colossians.
Amen.
And I will tell you the topic. This time it will be Christ, our portion.
Amen.
We'll talk about inheritance. We'll talk about the allotted portion. This time it will be, you just look forward to it.
Amen.
You better sign up. Every one of you should go to college training and bring someone with you.
Amen.
We do that. Don't go to work. Oh, I need to work. You don't need to work. You need to come here. Your whole life to work. Okay, you need to come. You don't need W-O-R-K, you need W-O-R-D. You still have a big long summer to work, right? But come to this summer training. And we're not just trying to inflate it with people. No. We are burdened that young people, I tell you, 4 years of college, you go to four of them, you will come into the full-time training ahead of the game.
Amen.
Sorry, we do have a number of trainees that came like they came to a remedial program. They missed it. I really mean it. In the college years, they missed it. They didn't have the basics in the Word. They didn't get all these things. So they'd come and never read through the Bible or New Testament or recovery version. I anticipate that recovery won't be like that. That is, people who are in their college years are already so grounded in the ministry and in the Word. They may not be mature. Absolutely not. They're not heirs or, you know, yet. But I tell you, they are grounded in the Word. They come in, I tell you, they just hit the ground running in the full-time training. And 2 years later, you will graduate a different kind of graduate. Trust me.
Amen.
And I challenge all of you to do this. And I really challenge you, each one of you, persuade and bring one other saint with you to this training.
Amen.
West Coast, East Coast. West Coast will be where? This time we'll be in the forest somewhere. This time we will be in the forest. We won't be in Sacramento, we'll be in some forest somewhere. We won't be, I don't mean we'll be Robin Hood with the forest, but we will be the overcomers with our big brother.
Amen.
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 It'll be a wonderful situation. Don't be scared by the forest. And in the East Coast, we will still continue, I believe, in Athens. Very wonderful place. Very, very wonderful. All right? You can choose one of those according to where you live. And we are going to this time, no brochure, no nothing. We're going to Twitter you. All right, you want to follow on the latest on this summer training? The latest, we'll Twitter you. We might be on Facebook, right? Not that I want you to be on Facebook. My point is, we will use email. We will use all these forms to really blanket the recovery of young people your age. And you should do the same to pass it on. I think the word of mouth actually is a lot more powerful than a little something we give to you. Okay? So take this very, very seriously, Francis. And I really spent too much time on this matter. Now, back to the paragraph. Okay. In the Old Testament, and sometime I feel I need to give a conference on the birthright. Okay. But very briefly, the birthright that is accorded to the firstborn in a family, mainly by the patriarch, that is the father, right? Comprises the following three things. This is very clear in the Old Testament. And these are all figures that point to something real. In the New Testament. Number one, it includes a double portion of the land. Alright? So the second born, third born, they get a piece of land, but the first child, the first son, gets two pieces. Double portion. Extra portion of the land or anything else that he might inherit. He gets double portion. That's our birthright. That's the birthright. Number two, this is among the Jews, okay, among the Jews. The firstborn, also get the priesthood. This is a big deal. Let me tell you, to be a priest among the Jews is a big deal, huge deal. I mean, people will drool, you know, if they can become a priest. People will do anything to become a priest, because a priest is one who stands between man and God. He gets to be the one who takes charge of the service and worship to God on behalf of God's people. He is the mediatory person. In other words, whatever the people want to communicate with God, he has to go through the priest. He's the priest. He's the messenger. He is the one who brings the people's need to God. And whatever God wants to tell his people, he tells to the priest. And the priest is a messenger from God. I tell you, that is altogether a most privileged position to be a priest. And you get that if you are the first one in the Old Testament. Number three, the firstborn also receives the kingship. The ruling power from the Father. Now, let's look at the history here. The history, the most clear one, of course, has to do with Jacob. Okay? No, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, all right? And the first son, you know who's the first son? Test. Reuben, it's a sad story with Reuben. But anyway, Reuben is the first son. And as the first son, he should get all these three things. Double portion of land, the priesthood, and the kingship from his father Jacob. That means Reuben, if everything had turned out as it should, will be all three. Reuben will be so special among God's people. That will be a special tribe forever and ever. You will see Reubenites all over the place. Reuben is priest. Reubenites are priests. Reubenites are kings. Reubenites gets a double portion of the land. That's it. That's how it was to be. Of course, that didn't happen because of the failure of Reuben. Now, I'll get that to that in a moment. Now, you just remember that. Now, let's come to the New Testament. In the New Testament, there's also this matter of the birthright, as I said. Now, the verse that you have to read, you better write that down, is Hebrews chapter 12. Okay? Let me read it to you, verse 16 and 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. I'm going to talk about Esau in a moment. Who for one meal gave up his own birthright. Okay. Now, Paul, or whoever the writer was speaking to the Jews. The Jews know exactly what he was talking about. All right? They know the history. He lost it. Esau lost his birthright by one meal. Verse 17, for you know that also afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing. So now you see, you put these two together, the birthright and the inheritance of a certain blessing is identical. The inheritance of the blessing is the birthright, and the blessing is composed of the three things I just mentioned. And that fully applies to us, the New Testament believers, or the New Testament firstborn. When he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected He was rejected. This is Esau. For he found no place for repentance, even though he sought it with tears. Now, here, the writer was writing to the New Testament believers, who happened to be the Jews, the recipients of this particular epistle. And he was applying that story, that case, that Old Testament case of Esau. Actually, when you talk about Esau, you also have Reuben. Okay? There's similarities here. Saying that there is a possibility, even for us New Testament believers, who have the birthright, who own the birthright by birth, by our being regenerated by the Spirit, by us becoming children of God when we were saved, we receive the birthright then. Alright? You all believe you have the birthright?
Amen.
Do you believe? Okay. Hold on. Okay. You have the birthright, but it is possible to lose it. Now, this is not to lose your salvation. See, this is the problem with Calvinism. Calvinism, they believe in eternal salvation. That's wonderful. The security of it, the assurance of it, that's wonderful. And they believe once you're saved, forever saved, that is wonderful. But they miss a big truth, a big reality in the Bible. And that is the truth concerning the dispensation of the kingdom, the millennium, the 1,000 years, between now, this age, and the age of eternity. The kingdom age, they miss that completely. In fact, all the verses, which are abundant in the New Testament, they just say, well, these verses apply to the false Christians, false believers. That's why they can go to the dark place, they will have gnashing of teeth, you know, they will not inherit the kingdom. These are false believers. I mean, this is really, really cutting your feet to fit the shoe, you know, as they say. They're trying to make the Bible fit their natural mind, their brand of theology. Never do that. All right? Don't make the Bible fit your concept. You better get your mind renewed to fit the Bible's concept.
Amen.
That's the problem with theology today. Okay, so they ascribe it to that, which is wrong. Which is wrong. They just cannot reconcile these two things, eternal salvation and the possibility of losing it, or the possibility of not receiving a reward, the possibility of missing a certain blessing in the kingdom, referring mainly to the coming age of the millennium. They hate dispensationalists. They disagree with dispensationalism with a passion. So today there's a big comeback of the Reformed theology. Because for some time, this country accepted it, and they don't even know where they got it. They actually mainly got it from the brethren. The main seminary in this country that still today promote this brand of theology called dispensationalism, which we in the main subscribe to, is Dallas Theological Seminary. All right? One of the main teachers is called Charles Rory. He's the one who prepared this big study Bible. Is it Charles Rory? I think Charles is his brother. Okay? And I tell you, Reformed theology is livid with it, all right? They don't like it, in other words. But I know even Brother Lee had one time at least good fellowship with Dr. Ryder. Anyway, my point is, this kind of truth you have to study. By the way, the kingdom truth. Maybe sometime we will have to study the kingdom truth. All right, okay. Oops, I better hurry up. Now, we, listen to me, we Testament firstborn, which you are, right? Even the sisters, you are firstborn. You belong to the church of the firstborn, right?
Yes.
Okay, very good. All of us firstborn, we, by birth, inherited these rights. In New Testament terms, number one, we inherited the double portion of the land and the land we know in the Old Testament. That is the autumn. The good land in the Old Testament refers to the all-inclusive Christ. Do you know that the first thing in our New Testament divine birthright is Christ as our all-inclusive land, our allotted portion?
Amen.
That's why we need to come to Colossians this summer, the summer training, to get to know what that portion is. All right? That portion is our right.
Amen.
Is our right. I mean, this is better than getting 1,000 acres somewhere here. I tell you, this is Christ our land.
Amen.
Christ our enjoyment. Amen. The all-inclusive, all-extensive Christ, the embodiment of the triune God. You name it, he is it.
Amen.
All right? I mean, he is better than the Transformer, or whatever that is. You know what I'm saying? Today, the world throws these things at you and say, hey, this is fun. Hey, this is great. Hey, this is, you know, exciting. Maybe. Or maybe for 2 hours. And you don't want to see it again. Right? So they have to come up with another new one. Hey, this is really great. Forget about that one. This is really great. Ah, then you got it. For 2 hours, it's over. So they keep, today they use the internet to keep feeding you because the gratification span is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Are you with me? Young people today need a continuous stimulus of things. Then they couldn't even wait to go to the movie, so the internet provides it. Just by the push of a button, you can get your next level of gratification. And let me tell you what quick gratification does to you, health-wise, and that is you quickly become an addict. Gratification fuels addiction. And this is exactly what the evil one is doing through today's technology. I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you the real truth about what is going on. Now, I'm not denying the usefulness of technology for the Lord's interest and for many good things. I'm not denying that. But I tell you, at the same time, this technology is altogether employed by Satan and the demons and the evil spirits to keep throwing at rapid pace all manners of addictive things at you. And I don't need to mention what they are. All kinds of especially bad things. Sometimes even not just bad things, they are just innocent things. But you get so addicted to it, you have no time for to live even a normal life. You know there's something called a Sim City? I don't even know what that is. Something you can go in there, I was told, and you can, I'm an old man, and then I can become a little young girl. Sim City. I change my persona, and even I have my favorite dress and lipstick and nail polish and perfume and fashion, and you go in there, you are just ugly like a frog. You become a prince in your persona in this place, and you go there and do things and live and that's an alternate ego. You live another life. You live vicariously through some digital uh,
codes, you know? And that eventually, I know with some people, that persona, that persona that exists in the digital realm becomes a real one. They even forgot their own real being, that becomes them. And they start to live like that, so man starting to live like woman. And woman starting to live like man. And what's totally unreal becomes real, and what's real becomes unreal. That the whole thing is blurred, and then before long, you have to live your life, and your life is found in Sim City or whatever it is, so you have to be in Sim City 24/7 to live your life. And suddenly you're losing your real life. You can't study, you can't live a normal life, you don't know how to socialize as a human being, you just don't know what, you exist in cyberspace. And that you think is real. That's addiction. Not to mention all the other forms of things. Right? I mentioned pornography. Big thing today. The internet video streaming is actually designed by folks in that industry. Big time. And other things. And some, eventually these things are not just only evil in their own essence. What they do is they transform you into an addict. Addict means you cannot live without it. You need that high. And you need the next high, which has to be higher than the last high. That's addiction.
Well, why am I talking about that? I'm talking about, I tell you, these kind of instant, short span, non-stop stimulation, which produce gratification, which results in addiction, defraud you, us believers, from our true enjoyment. And that is Christ.
Amen.
The all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
And may I even mention music? And today, with the girls, the vampires. The lovely, sweet vampires, not those, you know, terrible kind. Today are the romantic empires. They don't drink human blood, they drink some other kind of blood. And the books and the movies and all of it, you become addicted to that. All of these things, you think, usurp you. It's stolen you from your very privileged, most blessed birthright.
Amen.
Which is to enjoy Christ. And you and I are made to enjoy Christ.
Amen.
You and I are reborn.
Amen.
To be filled with Him.
Amen.
Am I right? And yet we have no time for that because of this stupid internet. Do you know that? I'm talking about this age. This age, we're losing it. You know, the birthright is, yes, a reward in the coming kingdom. It's going to be a reward to the overcoming believers, all these three things. They will inherit the earth along with Christ. This earth, they will inherit. The Bible says so. We will inherit this earth. I mean the overcoming Christians. And the overcoming Christians will also be the priests in the kingdom, teaching the nations, leading the nations in worship to God. Of course, the Old Testament, I mean, the Jews have their place, but we will be the real priests, and we will be a kingdom of that. That means we will be co-kings with Christ, to reign with Christ. Now, that will be a reward for the overcoming Christians,
in the coming kingdom when the Lord Jesus comes back again. But whether you will get that reward or not depends whether you are tasting and enjoying that today. And that is the proof of our overcoming life in this age.
Amen.
That is today, brothers and sisters, if we are not enjoying Christ, if we are not participating in Him, if we do not have Him as our first love, if we are not living this Christ, enjoying this Christ, breathing this Christ, eating, drinking this Christ, living this Christ, how on earth will we do that in the coming age? Impossible. That reward is determined today.
Amen.
And all these things is to keep you, especially if rob you of your time, to enjoy the Lord Jesus. To love Him, to pursue Him, to enjoy His Word. You see? Young people, I like to see the Lord's recovery. We have a different brand of young people.
Amen.
They are just different. And I want to impress you, you are different.
Amen.
You know the Jews? From their birth, they instilled into them a certain sense that they are different. So when they grow up, they put this little skull cap on their hair, which is funny looking. But they put it on Sabbath, we are different. From day one, my mom and dad told me I'm different. So let them laugh at us. Let them ridicule us. Let them whatever. I am a Jew. I am God's people. I'm proud of it. Even though people laugh at me. Case 7. I don't mean you need to put on your skull cap. But brothers and sisters, there should be a sign on it. Stronger than a skull cap. That we are children of God.
Amen.
We're led by the Spirit. We're different. We don't go to places that people go to. We don't watch stuff people watch. We don't do things people do. Not because of some laws of regulation, because we know we are firstborn.
Amen.
And we have a birthright. And we are not going to give it up so easily.
Amen.
We're going to fight for it. I did. And many others did. To tell you it's possible. There'll be temptation there. There'll be some persecution there. There'll be people laughing at you and saying, you're a dud. Or whatever, today you're not cool, really. You're some Christian freak. You know, go to these things. And what are you? What's going on with you? You're just out of it, man. You're out. I tell you, that sign of shame. That sign of shame. You know what I mean? Is our sign of glory.
Amen.
Depends how you look at it. This side, shame. That side, glory.
Amen.
When Jesus will come on the cross, to men, shame. Spit on him.
Yeah.
Do all kinds of things. But on God's side, He approved of that.
Wow.
God's side. God said, this is it. This is my will. Are you those Roman soldiers? Or are you God? You are different. I'm different. And don't even question that. Let the case be settled. Number two, today we're priests. We are priests. You are young priests. That means you have to what? You have to live a life, listen, in the presence of the Lord. Praying, contacting Him. This is a priestly life. Offering spiritual sacrifices to the Lord, including yourself, offering yourself to the Lord, consecrating yourself day and night to the Lord in Christ. You have to offer up what you are, what you have, and I mentioned even according to Romans, you have even offered your members specifically. My hand, my feet, my tongue. Do we have a song in consecration? Lord, take my hand, take my tongue, take my eyes, take my feet, take everything, take my mind, take my heart. I tell you, you say, well, after God took it, I have nothing left. That is a wonderful place to be.
Amen.
Because when you are His, all things are yours.
Amen.
And sing 473 again. All things are ours when we are His. When we, a person is most liberated and most free when they give everything to Christ.
Amen.
You are the freest person.
Amen.
You are the most enviable person on the earth. Because you are the Lord. You live in Him. So you offer. This is another part of it for the priest, that you offer yourself. Then you have to offer what you have to offer. Praise to the Lord. How about that? We're people who praise the Lord.
Amen.
Who sing. Who call. Who praise the Lord. And some of us, we dare not praise because people will say, aha, you're that funny. He's asleep. We need to praise the Lord.
Amen.
In the meetings, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Open your mouth and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Our mouth shuts up, he beats us.
Amen.
And wins the devil's smile. So why not open battle and chase it all the while?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And wherever else on the earth. We're not going to take it lying down. We are going to what? Defeat the enemy.
Amen.
We're going to save and rob some from his kingdom.
Amen.
He has stolen enough. We have to steal them back.
Amen.
Find the strong man.
Amen.
Plunder his house.
Amen.
All these vessels belong in the house of God.
Amen.
Go get it.
Amen.
Preach the gospel.
Amen.
You say, I don't know how to preach. You just preach. You get somebody to say. Offer these ones, as Paul did, as the energizing priest of the gospel. Offer these to God. Everyone you saved, everyone you brought to the Lord, everyone you helped to grow is an offering to God.
Amen.
Sanctify the Holy Spirit. Okay, do these things. Then you're a priest today. Then you're a priest today. If we live this way, brothers and sisters, young people, if we live this way, we are today actually exercising our birthright.
Amen.
And participating in the blessings of it.
Amen.
All these I'm talking about are blessings.
Amen.
Are enjoyable.
Amen.
Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I did it. Now let me say this. Mark, you don't mind. Mark here, you know Mark Rogers is with you. He was brought to the church. He was saved already, didn't he? Just saved. And we brought him, right? This is in Costa Mesa, back in 1977. 75. Okay, whatever. Okay. And he actually lived with Vicky and I in our brother's house for a brief period, for a period of time. You know? He had long hair, he used to have long hair. I tell today, our brother, after so many years, he's a co-worker of mine, serving the church there in the Northwest. I tell you, brothers and sisters, I like to see you all like this. I don't mean we all become co-workers. I don't need that. You know what I mean. Sisters, right? This is your future. This is your future. To enjoy your birthright.
Amen.
And don't lose it. Now, lastly, I have to finish because the process is here, is what? You have to learn to be kings today. You know my message of reigning in light. Brothers and sisters, today we have to be saved in this light and reign in light. That means by the Spirit of God and by the abundance of grace and by the gift of righteousness, we have to reign in light over the flesh, over ourselves, over our soul life, over the world, over the natural man, over our environment, over the devil, over all kinds of things today. And I tell you, it's possible. Young people, even as young as you are, you can reign today. I heard in England, the old queen there would not give the throne to his son, his Charles. And rather, she's grooming the grandson, Prince William, to be the next one on the throne. And he is 20-something, I don't know, right? I thought, if you're born into a royal family and you're attacked to be the next monarch, I tell you, they start training you at age one. I mean, even when you drink from the bottle, you have to drink it royally. Those diapers will be royal, kingly diapers. I tell you, friends, sisters, do not despise your youth. Oh, I'm just a young person in recovery. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. No! I tell you, when I came to recovery, from day one, I was not like that.
Amen.
I said, I'm young. I'm one of the youngest, last in line. But I will not despise my youth.
Amen.
I will be a pattern to the believer.
Amen.
By Christ.
Amen.
And I did that. Brothers and sisters, you have to be like that. Don't even wait for the full-time training to become this and that. Today, in college, in high school, you are like that. I tell you, this will shock the world. This will defeat the enemy. This will shame you. We reign over you, Satan. Even I'm 18-year-old, I'm reigning over you. It's possible. It's possible. Don't let him reign over you. Don't let him rule over you. It's time you rule over him. Rule over your addiction. Have a rule over the internet. Rule over those empires. Rule over this. Today, all this junk. Rule over them. It takes your initiative. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit. But you can put to death the practices of your body. And we will live. And then I will say one word and I'm done. I know I'm really, really overcome. That is, I want to give you the story of Esau. That's it. Because these verses are on it. This is on the negative side, as a warning. What happened to Esau? You all know Esau was the firstborn. Jacob was the secondborn. Okay, Jacob was the supplanting one, you know, the cunning one. So one day, he wants that birthright. Bad. Bad, you know. Okay. And he was going to get it. He was going to get it. So one day Esau came back from hunting. He was a hunter. He was a hairy guy. Hunting. He was fainting. He was tired. And then he said, I need something to eat because if I don't eat, I'll die. So Jacob was there. Jacob was cooking the food. I don't know. He was more. The homemaker type. For sure, he has no hair. You know, later on, that's why Isaac got confused. But anyway, he said, give me your birthright today. The word is in Hebrew today. Right now, give it to me, and I will give you this to you. Then Esau say, what is the birthright? I'm going to die. Let me understand. He said, swear to me. Like, he really. Today, he has something, he will say, sign here. Right? and Esau basically signed off his birthright and drank the stew and went away. Now, let me tell you, then the last sentence is the main one there. This is in Genesis 29-34, you can read it. He says what? Because Esau despite his birthright. I think that's what it says. Maybe someone can find it. I have it here. 25. Yeah. Jacob said, today, sell me your birthright. That's the thing. Esau despises his birthright. Wow. Attitude. Attitude. I want to know what's your attitude toward this wonderful birthright you got already. Do you want it so badly?
Amen.
Even you were supplanted.
Amen.
Which I don't recommend. But I'm talking about attitude here. Or you despise it. The stew, the instant gratification again here, the stew is much more important than that birthright. I'm going to take this stew. Okay, stew you got. And birthright you lost. And then, later on, with the help of the mother, who is favorite son, Jacob, and Isaac got confused, and bless Jacob instead of Esau. And it says Esau wept bitterly, but there's nothing he could do. That's why he wanted to kill his brother. Because he lost it. Mm-hmm. And they say there's no room for repentance in Hebrew. That does not mean you cannot repent of your sin. That doesn't mean that. It means you cannot reverse the issue of this kind of giving away of your birthright. That is, you cannot do this. That means you can lose your reward in the coming kingdom. You can't do it. And there will be no room for repentance. Reuben lost it because of his fornication. He took one of his father's concubines and defiled his father's bed. Because of that, he lost it. So Reuben, who should have gotten all three, he lost the double portion of the land to Joseph through his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. He lost the priesthood to the Levites, to Levi. And he lost the kingship to Judah. So Reuben is not there. He had the birthright, he had it all, then he lost it all. So, this is my word today. That's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
There's a kingdom coming.
Amen.
There's a reward, the full taste of this birthright that you have today. But it depends on whether you enjoy it today or you will give it up, sell it so easily by just some present, one-time, worldly enjoyment and sin and other things. You lose this wonderful, marvelous birthright that you have from our Father God. Don't do this. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Fight for your birthright.
Amen.
Fight for your rights.
Amen.
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 I've been fighting for 40 years now. I'm still fighting. Amen. Every day.
Amen.
I will not let this right go.
Amen.
It is too marvelous.
Amen.
Too privileged. Too prestigious.
Amen.
Too blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.